The next speaker is Dr. Senjo, and the title of his presentation is Life Cycle Analysis of Greenhouse Gases Affected by Irrigation, Tillage, Crop Rotation, and Nitrogen Fertilization. Please.
Now, we know that we measure greenhouse gases all the time, but in order to have the net global warming potential, we need to look at all the sources and sinks of greenhouse gas analysis in order to analyze for the life cycle analysis or a net global warming potential. So in this case, then we have analyzed the greenhouse gases in terms of global warming potential, GWP, and greenhouse gas intensity. Greenhouse gas intensity is the greenhouse global warming potential per unit crop yield. And so we try to compare all the sources and sinks. Now, the sources of carbon dioxide in the agriculture practice are farm operations, irrigations, nitrogen fertilizations, and all kinds of greenhouse gases in there. And the sinks are usually the soil carbon sequestration and the amount of crop residue returned to the soil. So since there is little information available about this process, so our objective of our experiments were to evaluate all the different kinds of irrigations, tillage, crop rotation and nitrogen fertilization on this global warming potential and greenhouse gas intensity. And we calculated this by using two methods. One, what we call is at the global warming potential based on soil respiration, where we use soil carbon dioxide and amount of crop residue return to the soil at the source and sinks. And another one is what we call is the global warming potential based on soil organic carbon, where you use carbon sequestration rate at the sink. So, and also then we compare these two methods to see which is the best method that would give you that the management practices will give us the best estimate of greenhouse gas in terms of reducing the global warming potential. And also our objective was to identify management practices which can reduce this global warming potential by using these methods. So the treatments of this experiment include two irrigation systems at the main plot, and then we have got the five cropping systems at the split plot treatments. As you see, these five split plot treatments are the conventional till mud barley with 67 to 134 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. Now the 67 kilogram nitrogen, all these are for the mahl barley. 67 kilogram nitrogen per hectare is the dryland mahl barley, and 134 kilogram nitrogen per the mahl, irrigated mahl barley. Since the irrigated mahl barley requires more nitrogen and is produced more yield, it requires a higher amount of nitrogen. Then the second one is the conventional till mahl barley with no nitrogen, CTBO. The third treatment we have is the cropping system. No till mahl barley P with 67 to, again, 134 kilogram no-till mahl barley P rotation with the nitrogen. And then a no-till mahl barley, the fourth one is a no-till mahl barley, which, again, 67 to 134. And the five is no-till, no barley, no nitrogen in there. We calculated the greenhouse. We measured the greenhouse gas emission using static chamber at the 3 to 14-day intervals. 4 years from 2008 to 2011 in western North Dakota. Now we calculate this. The GWPR is the global warming potential based on soil respiration. So the sources of the carbon equivalents for this is the from irrigation, farm operations. Farm operations consist of tillage, herbicides and pesticide application, crop harvest, all kinds of operations, and then we have got the nitrogen fertilizations and the soil respiration. Soil respiration is the CO2 coming out from the soil organic matter decomposition. Then we have got the N2O flux and the CH4 flux minus the sink is the amount of crop residue in the previous year. That's the previous year, not this year, in the amount of CO2 equivalent of the previous year's crop residue returned to the soil. And then the way we calculate the global warming potential based on organic carbon is the CO2 coming from irrigation, farm operation, nitrogen fertilization, N2O and CH4 flux minus the soil organic carbon sequestration. Then the greenhouse gas intensity with based on soil respiration is the global warming potential by crop yield. And then again, GHGIC based on soil carbon sequestration is again divided by the crop yield for those two treatments. So let's look at the amount of CO2 coming out from irrigation water. This is the average of 4 years, from 2008 to 2011. These are all coming out from the irrigated treatment, so you will see the CO2 flux only from the irrigated treatments, and there are no CO2 flux from the non-irrigated treatments. As regards to the nitrogen fertilization, this is the, again, mean amount of nitrogen fertilizer applied to different treatments. You can see there is nothing much from the non-fertilizer treatments for CTBO and NTBO. Those are the no nitrogen fertilized treatments, but all other treatments are based on the amount of nitrogen fertilizer applied. This is CO2 equivalent from palm operations, and this is mostly from the tillage treatments, CTBN and CTBO. So going back to these treatments, this is the amount of nitrogen fertilizer. This amount varied by the amount of rate of nitrogen fertilizer applied in each year. And this also includes, then we have got the direct source and indirect source of nitrogen fertilization. The direct source of nitrogen fertilization includes the production, transportation, and application of nitrogen fertilization, and the indirect source includes ammonia volatilization, nitrogen leaching, and urea hydrolysis. Urea was the kind of nitrogen fertilizer we applied, so all those, and that the amount that has been estimated that comes in over here is given in here. The direct source is calculated from that as estimated by in the literatures. And the indirect source is about 0.4% of the amount of rate of nitrogen fertilizer. Okay, and then the amount of CO2 that comes from palm operation is mostly the difference in the tillage. All other operations are the same, except those two till treatments, CTBN and CTBO. Because of the tillage, they produce more CO2, and all others are no-till treatments. In terms of the carbon sequestration rate, this is the measure by collecting soil sample at 0 to 10 centimeter depth, where we found the highest rate of carbon sequestration, and it's the average of the 6 years, 2006 to 2011. Since the carbon sequestration rate is the same, it takes a longer time to calculate the carbon sequestration rate. We have to go for a 6 years duration, starting from the initiation of the experiment. And you can see these till treatments, there are some negative carbon sequestration rates, especially these, the till treatments, the first two till treatments, CTBN and CTBO. But in case of higher no till treatments, this no NTBP treatments seems to produce a higher amount of carbon sequestration rate than any other treatments in both irrigated and non-irrigated systems. In terms of the soil respiration that coming out, I believe the 4 years again, you can see there is no actually difference between the soil respiration. The soil respiration is calculated as we have to eliminate the root respiration. It is thus the respirations coming out from soil organic matter decomposition. In order to calculate that root respiration, you see the bottom over here, and you see this, the bottom side, that we have to multiply the total soil CO2 flux by 0.52. And the estimate is that the root respiration in this system accounts for about 48% of the total CO2 flux. The mean CO2 flux and nitrogen equivalent of the N2O flux now, this again you can see, this is the N2O flux that comes out, average of the 4 years. You can see irrigated and non-irrigated system. And again, you can see the lowest in the irrigated system, we have CTBO is the lowest value. But in the non-irrigated system, we have got the NTBP producing the lowest amount of N2O flux. Okay? Then we have the CO2 equivalent. Now, the CO2 equivalent of N2O flux, we calculate it by multiplying the N2O flux by 298 in order to convert the CO2 equivalent, you multiply N2O flux by 298, and that will give you the CO2 equivalent. For the COCH4 flux, we multiply by 25 times, and that will give you the CO2 equivalent of total CO2 flux. And you can see the base of these average 4 years values, again, the CO2 flux are based in small amounts, and most of all of them are negatives. So there it consists a little, very small amount in terms of global warming potentials. Now, in terms of the CO2 equivalent from the previous year's crops residue returned to the soils, you can see the highest amount of residue is returned by both all these nitrogen fertilizer treatments. That's not a surprise. And the lowest one would be one with the no nitrogen fertilizer treatments. And then the irrigated systems seems to give a slightly higher amount of crop residue. And this is the average of the previous years, that's 2007 to 2010. That's what we needed for the global warming potential. In terms of grain yield, as in you can see, all those fertilized treatments seems to give a greater yield than the no fertilizer treatments. And all these, in the irrigated system, there is no difference between all these three nitrogen fertilizer, but in terms of, so in terms of non-irrigated, again, you see the grain yield difference is that the fertilizer treatments would seem to be a greater grain yield in there too. Now, in terms of when you calculate the global warming potential based on soil respiration, you can see the CO2 equivalent seems to be lower because all of them seems to be negative. They gave negative values based on respiration, and it seems like they're used as a sink for the global warming. So that's the disadvantage of this method. But you can see the lowest amount of global potential is from the NTBP treatments in both the NTBP in the irrigated and then CTBM in the non-irrigated. When you compare the global warming potential based on soil organic carbon, the NTBP both in the irrigated treatment, NTBP and NTBO seems to lower global warming potential, but non-irrigated treatments, this NTBP seems to give a lower amount of global warming potential. When you calculate the greenhouse gas intensity, again, based on 4 years, you can see the NTBP is clearly greenhouse gas intensity. NTBP is a good treatment. When you compare or calculate the greenhouse gas intensity in terms of soil organic carbon, again, you see this NTBP treatments. Inclusion of a legume in the treatment seems to lower the global warming potential from these sources, both in irrigated and non-irrigated cropping system. I think the reason for that is that when you include the legumes, you reduce the amount of nitrogen rates, and that helps in calculating our global warming potential. So the conclusion of this experiment are that all those treatments, we also have a chance to calculate the global warming potential based on individual treatments in there, and you can see those treatments are usually the different combination, and then NTBP in both the irrigated and non-irrigated practice seems to be an ideal management practice to reduce the global warming potential.
Thank you. Questions, please.
The carbon in the no-till versus conventional, is it correct, was it 0 to 10 centimeters?
Yes.
That was just based on depth, or was it mass, the bulk density included in that?
Yes, it was the mass times the bulk density. So that the carbon considered as kilogram per hectare per year. It's a mass per unit volume. Megagram per carbon per hectare.
Right, but in terms of the field for sampling, you just went down to 10 centimeters in both sites.
Yes.
So could could stratification have biased that sampling with the no-till?
Well, what we actually we have two depths in there, 0 to 5 and 5 to 10. And then, but we take the 0 to 10 centimeter because our depth of the tillage is 0 to 10 centimeter depth. And that's where we found out the higher carbon sequestration. And we decided to take the, that 10 centimeter depth as a plow layer and rate for the carbon sequestration.
Thank you.